Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Praise. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. We have come and gathered here on this Wednesday for Laborers for Christ, Word Life Center, midweek prayer and teaching gathering. A lot of exciting things coming our way, and we have a lot to cover today. So we do want to get started with the opening prayer, and we ask if there is a man on the line, if you could please give us our opening prayer. Amen. Take your phone off mute.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. Here we go with a man.
I don't know if someone's saying this, so I'll just wait.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Imagine everlasting Father, Sovereign Lord. We come now.
Yes, go ahead.
We come now giving you all the praise and all the honor and glory. We thank you, Lord God, for how your word teaches us true significance and how to search for that. And how your word reveals to us who we are and reveals to who you are, who you are, O Heavenly Father. We ask now in this conversation that you reveal new truths, new revelations, and take us to deeper depths to understand who we are in relationship to you, excuse me, and who we are in relationship to each other. And let all the people of God say, excuse me for the heck of it. Amen.
Amen. He's got growing pains. Hallelujah. Growing and going in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And those that do that other stuff, they look at hiccups or something else. But we thank God for your willingness and for your obedience and for your timeliness so that you can open our gathering as it should be with the man at the head. And so we thank God. We thank God for the leadership that honors the position of men in the kingdom of God. And so, as I said, we have a lot of things that we're going to cover today. And we want to start with ending the week 5 lesson of healthy and unhealthy relationships. So we do want to look at that and give our Pastor Tan opportunity to to share and present what she received as she studied the Word of God in the lesson that was before us. So, Pastor Tan, you're up.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer Paulette. Good evening, everyone. as we continue on our journey, well, ending on our journey of approval addict, and we're talking about healthy and unhealthy relationship. as we look at this, I pray that we walk away from here being able to recognize healthy and unhealthy relationship and no longer desire the acceptance or approval of other to feel value or a sense of self-worth. But we would know and receive that we are totally loved, reconciled, and accepted by God, our Father, through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. So, with that being said, I just want us to think about for a moment on what it's a healthy relationship and what is an unhealthy relationship. We all have a form of knowledge of what we think healthy relationships are and what we think unhealthy relationships are. And as you're thinking about it, we're going to look at some questions. If you have the workbook, the questions begin on 78, and if you don't, I will read those questions to you. So as I prepare to read those questions to you and you're thinking about healthy and unhealthy relationship, this is the question posed. think about your understanding of who God is based on your parents' role modeling in your life. Check the box or write, or you can write 1 through 5 just on a sheet of paper and just write the number that you identify with the most. So the first question is, your father was aloof and distant, therefore you think of God as someone far away and unreachable. Again, the first question is, your father was aloof and distant, therefore you think of God as someone far away and unreachable. The second question is, your mother never was around when you needed her, therefore it's hard for you to think about God as someone who will be there for you. Again, your mother never was around when you needed her, therefore it's hard for you to think about God as someone who will be there for you. Number 3, your mother never let you forget it when you did something wrong. Therefore, it's hard for you to think about God as kind and forgiving. Again, number 3, your mother never let you forget it when you did something wrong. Therefore, it's hard for you to think about God as kind and forgiving. Number 4, your father was undependable. Therefore, you think of God as someone on whom you can't rely. Again, your father was undependable. Therefore, you think of God as someone of whom you can't rely. Number 5, your father believed in you and thought you could accomplish anything. Therefore, you think of God as someone who has great plans in store for you. Again, your father believed in you and thought you could accomplish anything. Therefore, you think of God as someone who has great plans in store for you. And I'm sorry, it's 6th question. And the 6th question is this. Your mother was warm and kind. Therefore, it's easy for you to think of God as having compassion. The last one is, your mother was warm and kind. Therefore, it's easy for you to think of God as having compassion. So as we look at healthy and unhealthy relationships, and we're going to get back to those questions momentarily, I just want you to just have your number written down and we'll get right back to it. So as we go on to talk about healthy and unhealthy relationship, the author here is really zooming in on parents as being models for a healthy and unhealthy relationship. And my take on it is that the reason for it is because that's the first connection or the first relationship we have or come in contact with would be a parent, a mother or father, a mother or a father. So if that is the case, we think of some familiar passages or familiar scriptures that people will quote when parents are raising their children. That's if they're centered in a God-centered household. So my next question is, can anyone think of one familiar scripture that most people use when a parent is raising a child that stick out to you, that's most popular? Anybody? Anyone?
Would be honor thy father and mother.
Say that again.
I had stated the one that says honor thy father and mother.
Okay, so that's one. Honor thy mother and father, and thy days shall be long, right? So, some people are probably asking, How can you tell me to honor my mother and father and my days shall be long if I am experiencing something that's not healthy? Okay? So that's one question that's posed out. The other one would be train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he would not depart from it. You know, so the training for some people could look very unhealthy or in an abusive manner or in an abusive way. As we look at what the author is stating about, as we look at it, he states that God intends for parents to model his character to their children. Scripture says parents are to give their children affection, compassion, protection, provision, and love and discipline. When parents provide this kind of environment in their home, children usually can understand that God has these characteristics. They can understand that he is compassionate, protective, gracious, loving, and he disciplines. But when he disciplines, he also does it in a corrective manner. Sometimes it may not seem like it's a gentle manner, but when he does correct, he corrects to actually put you back on a correct pathway. There are some who have experienced relatively healthy relationship with their parents and others have not. And because of the deep wounds of unhealthy relationship from our parents, it is hard to receive God's love. Sometimes we may feel unlovable. We may feel withdrawn from the idea of being loved and accepted. And this is when rejection comes in and settles in because we have not yet once been introduced to a healthy relationship. You know, for those who have suffered at the hand of physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and things of that nature. So when you're not experiencing a healthy relationship from your parent, you end up being introduced to rejection at a very early age. And the reactions that some people may receive or get when fear of rejection comes on, some people, and you just have to look at yourself and be honest with yourself right now because we're looking for healing and freedom to come as we go through the healthy and unhealthy relationships that we're talking about with parents. And not only parents, like I said, the author focus in on parents, but what about those healthy and unhealthy relationships? Well, what about those unhealthy relationships that you suffered with other relatives, not just mom and dad, but grandma, granddad, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, cousin, neighbors, teachers, coworkers, name somebody, you know, when we're looking at especially the difference of what is a godly, healthy relationship versus an unhealthy relationship. So when rejection is introduced to you, then rejection usually or the fear of rejection usually bring on a couple of types of reaction. One would be some may develop a hard exterior and never develop satisfying relationships. Two, some withdraw and decline almost everything or everybody that come their way or reject everything or anybody that come their way. Three, some may say yes to everyone hoping to gain their approval. Four, some are shy and easily manipulated. Five, some are sensitive to criticism and react defensively. And six, deep fear of rejection may prompt hostility and the development of nervous disorders. So when we're looking at how we feel, then what takes me back, and it always go back to what was said to you. What were some of the things that people put out in the atmosphere about you, and you believed it and you accepted it, and it shaped who you were growing up, who you became as an adult, what was said, and who you probably may be still right now today, because, you know, there may be some lingering thoughts of accepting and still remembering, you know, then I must be like this, or I may must react like that to get certain people approval, because this is what my mom did, or this is what my dad did, or this is what happened to me. So what was the thought, or what was stated to you to make you feel a certain way? Ask you that question. I go back to a teaching that Metropolitan did not too long ago that said thought. And not only that, we have been teaching about inward purity and how one could become pure in the inward parts, and in order to allow God to purify and truly purify your heart, we had to look at those deep-rooted issues, those things that actually shaped us that we wanted to forget about, that we wanted to put in the closet. And one of the biggest things was unforgiveness. And with unforgiveness, it's attached to some rejection. And it's attached to some rejection because we had to perform a lot in our life. And I know that we had talked about performance trap as well, and some of these topics cross over. So, you know, what were some of the things that were said, and what were some of the things that were done to kind of shape us? And so when I understood the teaching about a thought, you know, we love to quote the scripture in Jeremiah, which is great. It states that, you know, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. You know, God said he wants us to, he wants us to have an expected end, you know. And the scripture just stated that before you were even formed or created in your mother's womb, I knew the plans that I had for you. I already knew it. I already thought about it. You know, so that thought about you was way in existence before he stepped on and stepped out and said, let there be. So because that thought about you was already in existence before he said, let there be, then that was meaning that he in trying spirit had already had you in mind, and had a thought about you in mind, and had a destiny and a plan for you in mind. However, you know, because he had already had that thought about us in mind, there were some things that came about that kind of altered some of the way we thought about ourselves. When he said that we're beautifully and wonderfully made, we thought differently because another thought was projected on us. So when I look at it and I'm thinking about, okay, another thought was projected on us, then I'm looking at a manner of where the teaching was that a thought needs to manifest. It needs to come into existence. So when God thought about us, it manifested into existence, okay? whenever someone make a thought about us or say, you know, a negative comment about us, it comes into existence and it comes out to do or accomplish that what it is set out to do. So if you can think of something negative that a mother or a parent would say, or how they would put their own rejections on you, you know, by their actions or by their thoughts. So if you think of some of the things that they would say, they would compare you to another sibling, or they would say you're dumb or you're stupid or you're never going to be anybody, you're never going to be successful. Sometimes, and I love this, you know, because I grew up in a household, you know, with a mom that would come home sometime and just sit in silence and don't say anything. So we have to go, hey, Mom, you okay? Hey, Mom, what's wrong with you? Because she was in an abusive marriage, you know. So it then makes you think as a child, okay, so you were trying to do what you can do to, one, get her approval. Well, that's what we were trying to do, my siblings and I, to get her approval. Two, to have her not reject us. And three, to have her to accept us and show love and kindness. So when the thing about a thought and saying that a thought has to manifest and come, and it's up to us to determine when that thought comes into our heart, whether we're going to receive it or reject it. No one ever taught us that we can reject words, you know. So I sat there and I thought, you know, what made me say I receive that which you said about me? I receive the, why are you out there anyway, you know, so this is the kicker with my dad, you know, trying to be accepted with him as growing up, and if you know anything about the background, you know, dad, very prophetic. So why are you trying to get a boyfriend, you know, I blossomed really late, so, you know, you are not like that attractive, or what do they see in you? You don't have like the body figure and things of that nature. So let's think about it. What were some of the things that was actually put on us to make us receive those words? So, you know, I know that there are some that grew up in kind of household that were healthy, that would say, okay, you know, promote a majority of the things that you did. You know, you can be anything, you can be anybody when you grow up, you know, the skies is the limit, you know. And you see your parents say that out of one breath, you know, because my parents were encouraging, too, with education. But then they come out in another breath, say something that is very unhealthy, you know. So all my life I felt like I had to perform. I had to, I would say, as the author said in the book, too, you know, approval at it. I need to get your approval to make sure that I am doing well. You know, so the thing about this is that, okay, any questions or concerns right now before I move on? Okay. So as we look at the unhealthy relationship, first of all, God states that, you know, when we enter into unhealthy relationships, you know, he is the one that brings acceptance. And when he brings acceptance, it's unconditional acceptance. You know, we're not looking to make sure that we're trying to please someone and things of that nature. We're making sure that we're checking ourselves to make sure that that are we very sensitive to criticism, or are we defensive? If we're sensitive to criticism and we're defensive, then what is it, or what was said to in that statement to make me feel that way? You know, the only way for us to move past trying to be involved in unhealthy relationship is that we have to be honest with some of the statements that people have said, are saying about us now, you know, even in, on jobs and things of that nature, or in any type of friendship. What did they say something to make me feel this way, or to make me have a feeling of rejection, or make me have a feeling of fear, you know, or make me feel like I'm not accepted? And if they said that, then let me check it. What is it? What was it? And then once you check it, then you leave it at, you check it with what God says. So as we look, again, some techniques that parents use to communicate rejection to children would be verbal attacks on children, on a child's character and abilities, comparisons to other siblings, silence, prolonged absence from home, physical abuse, actions that carry lifetime scars. And if we look at it, our dependence on others for value brings bondage, while abiding in Christ's love and acceptance brings freedom and joy. If we go back to our memory verse, which is that comes from Galatians 1 and 10, and this is coming from the Voice Translation, and it states, "Do you think I care about the approval of men or about the approval of God? Do you think I am on a mission to please people? If I am still spinning my wheels trying to please men, then there is no way I can be a servant of the Anointed One, the Liberating King. The only way we can overcome the fear of rejection is to value the constant approval of God over the conditional approval of people." Now, you're saying, you may ask or propose the question, well, how do I move into a healthy relationship when I have been so bombarded with, like, unhealthy relationship due to poor modeling from parents or other role models that were around me? And it can not only be parents, it can be coaches, it could be, you name somebody, it could be. Loving the way that you move past unhealthy relationship is actually being in group or being around loving Christian friends to help you experience love and grace of God. God intends that the body of believers provide all of us with models of his love so that our perception of his character slowly can be reshaped into one that is more accurate. And this results in a healthier relationship with him. Then our deep emotional, spiritual, and relational wounds can begin to heal. So my question to you is this. If God is intending us to be around believers in order for us to be reshaped into a more accurate and healthier relationship with him, then what happens when we come into the church? What happens if the relationships within the church become unhealthy relationships? That's one question I would want you to think about. what happens when we miss God's message and look towards the messenger for fulfillment because we do not know how to separate healthy and unhealthy relationship or determine what a healthy relationship is. And what happens when we become emotionally dependent on someone else's presence and nurturing for our own personal well-being? So anyone want to take a stab at either one of those questions?
Repeat the first one again.
What happens if the relationship within the church becomes an unhealthy relationship? If we are, if the point of is that we are finding acceptance with God, and if we're finding acceptance with God through Jesus Christ reconciling us back to God or restoring us back to God because of his bloodshed and things of that nature, and we are to come into a fellowship or a church, and we are to encamp ourselves or try to learn or be around those who model, because we're supposed to be like Christ, right? Are we not supposed to be like Christ?
Right.
Are we not supposed to model ourselves after Christ? So if we're supposed to model out, and it's not a suppose, we are to be like Christ. We are to model ourselves like Christ. So you have someone to come into church who has been through such a dramatic part of their life, and they're looking for a fulfillment from God, and they're looking for God to come in and heal them and to find healthier relationship, and we are imitators of Christ, and they come into the church setting, and they are bombarded back again with an unhealthy relationship, then what happens? What should the message be? How can they come up out of it?
So in essence, you're saying that if they come into a church setting and the church is not modeling the behavior of Christ, then how can they be free? Is that the real question?
How can they be guided towards God? How can they be guided towards knowing that God is loving, all loving, all kindness, you know, that he accepts you for who you are no matter what, but they get right back or fall right back into the trap of an unhealthy relationship when God is saying, I need you to abide in me. Us as Christians, I need you to abide in me. And as you abide in me, then I should be shown to them how to come into the knowledge of receiving my love instead of rejecting my love. Instead, they're coming into a knowledge of being or rejecting God's love because they're back in a familiar state. So what happens when a person who has been in such a dramatic, unhappy relationship from a parent, from a sibling, from a neighbor, and they're coming into the church, but falls back into an unhealthy relationship due to the pastor or due to a deacon or due to a trustee not being able to show them what a healthy relationship is?
I have a comment, Vicki, if that's all right.
Yes.
When you had asked about coming into the church, you know, this is part of the discussion. You know, I think about when they talk about the scriptures that have no respect to persons. Sometimes people, because of the things that they went through in their childhood, they don't know what it is like to experience unconditional acceptance. And so sometimes the church becomes one of the first time that they begin to understand what is meant by an unconditional acceptance. And I think as people begin to experience that, that begins to give a person insight to, oh, this is how God loves me. But I think it's hard for a person to make that jump without first beginning to experience unconditional love. Unless of course, in their childhood, they had some childhood things that approach that. So when you're asking about the church, I think the church then becomes the chance to model that unconditional acceptance, and that begins to set for them the interaction that they see in the church, and it tells them that they are accepted. That's what came to my mind as you were asking those questions.
Right, and that's good, because I am going to expand on the unconditional part and what is a healthy relationship and what we need to look for in a healthy relationship. Most of us think that a healthy relationship depends on how you feel inwardly, but healthy relationships are always outward, demonstrations rather than inward when we're looking at healthy relationships. You know, but you know, as we look at this a person coming in who has experienced unhealthy relationship from whomever all their lives, you know, negative thoughts, you know, how do we change those negative thoughts? How do we change those accepting, you know, what people have said, you know, about us, you know, and then here again, you know, we just have to bring every thought into subjection, you know, and weigh it out, you know, we need to make sure we're weighing out the thoughts.
Pastor Tan?
What? Yes.
This is Jen, yes, in Washington. I think, too, with what you're saying, it's like that phrase, if you only have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And there are sometimes people who, like you said, they've only been exposed to hurt. So they may come into a
right
church setting and perceive more of that hurt when perhaps that's not really what the true case is, but that's the only lens they know how to see through. They're listening for injury. They're listening for correction, sounds like condemnation to them. And so helping to not only them, but I think ourselves, back through the lens of Scripture, back through the lens of, but what does Christ say about this? What does the Word say about this? What is the Holy Spirit leading you to in Scripture to support how you deal with this? Even if you perceive this situation to be thus and so, what does the Scripture tell you about how to deal with that? And so whether it is that we have, in fact, created an additional wound in somebody or cultivated a wound that was already there, the Holy Spirit can tell us what it is we need to adjust in our approach, or what we need to reiterate to them, or who else to bring into the conversation. Because, you know, that trying to tell a hammer is not a nail. Everything's a nail. I'm going to attack everything I see the way I always have, because that's the only thing I know how to do.
Right. And that goes back to... Go ahead on.
I was just going to say, so then you have a skewed view. So if you only know hurt, then everything
that you see and everything that you do and experience is done through the lens of that hurt, and you're always seeking and looking for that hurt and never understanding the unconditional love that may be trying to be portrayed to you then, because you're always looking through the lens of that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly creating more injury.
One of the things we may want to look at, and that is Pastor Connie has a scenario to give us, and it is about someone that's wounded, just like that. And I think as we discuss the scenario, and Prophet Connie gives us the scenario, we can see where we fit and what are your thoughts when you hear it. Because as one of the things Pastor Tan said was, this was a continuous process of woundedness that came for this person. And when that happens, only a continuous process of healing can bring about a change. So, Pastor Connie, can you present?
Yes.
Present the scenario, and then we're going to all dialogue on it based on what Pastor Tan has shared with us. Amen.
All right.
All right, Pastor.
Good evening. The title says "No Way Out" with a question mark. So, the first paragraph says, Susan was the product of dysfunctional parents. Although she was an attractive child, Susan never seemed quite as confident or as outgoing as her brothers and sisters. Susan's father had sexually abused her by the time she was 8 years old. Overcome by the shame this caused her, Susan withdrew from others and looked for an escape. By age 16, Susan was addicted to drugs and frequently stole merchandise and sold her body for a mere substance. Although she was ashamed of her lifestyle and wanted to change, she saw no way out. The only people who didn't seem to reject her were the ones who used her. Susan felt trapped and alone. As I was reading this, I did look up the word dysfunctional, and it says a family in which conflict, misbehavior, and often child neglect or abuse on the parts of individual parents occurs continuously and regularly. Children that grew up in this situation think it is normal. Dysfunctional families are primarily a result of two adults, one overly abusive and the other one codependent, and may be affected by addiction such as abuse, drugs, including alcohol, or untreated mental illness. And to go back to Pastor Tan's question, people that has been abused might not know the way out, and someone else comes along and abuse them again, so it's a double fold, and they think this is normal. But when someone comes along with the truth and present Christ to them and let them know that they are not what people say they are, they don't have to allow what people do to them, and speak up and let them know that God is on their side, there will become a change. But not until someone that has the truth, that has the Holy Spirit, that has the Christ that lives in them, and present that scripture that says in Romans 8, now therefore there is no condemnation to the one that walketh in the Spirit of Christ. I've forgotten the words. So I think Pastor Tam's question to me when she was saying it was she was abused outside of the church. Then when she came inside the church, she could not distinguish the difference between abuse and love. So she took the love and used it a wrong way. And then that made in the church, that made it to become abusive to her again.
Right, and she took the love and used it the wrong way. But what happens when a person is coming to the church and looking for that freedom because they heard of a man named Christ that can do all things and deliver them from all things, but then again go back into, it's not because they don't know how to receive it or does not know how to recognize the healthy relationship,
right.
Or the unconditional acceptance. What happens when they're coming in saying that I heard about this man called Christ, but they fall back into the trap because the person that is a representation
right.
of Christ and supposed to follow those characteristics listed out in Titus ignores those characteristics that was given to us as pastors and elders and bishops, come in and take that which the person has now divorced to you in counseling, you take it and then turn around and abuse that person again.
Yes. I think what probably would happen, that the person would go back to the stage that they were in, the first stage that they were in, back to drugs maybe, back to prostituting itself, back to stealing the merchandise and fighting or fussing or drinking. Because now they have come to church, and the one that represents Christ is doing the same
right.
thing that the one that was outside. So now they see there's no change. So you will have a tendency to lose the one that was abused to lose faith in the church and in Christ and God.
Right.
I have a question. I have a question I would like to present. And that is, is the only person that has any level of authority and responsibility the deacon, the pastor, or people that's in leadership? Because most people, your interaction in a church is not necessarily with the leader, but rather the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just
right.
as a, one of the things that the the scenario, excuse me, that struck me was it said she went back to those that accepted her, even though they used her.
Mm-hmm.
But when
mm-hmm.
you're in a position that you just don't feel accepted, even if leadership don't accept you, if you have 10 people in the congregation that are displaying the fruit of the spirit of patience and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness, love really does conquer all. But it can't be looked for in one place other than Christ. Well, when you come into the church, most people, they're really not coming into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. They're
right,
coming
right.
into a
not initially.
That they
not
don't
initially.
Fully understand.
You're right.
They don't. The
nope.
only thing they understand is kindness. The only thing they understand
yes.
is acceptance. The only thing they understand is feeling they're in a non-judgmental zone. People keep saying that, but they don't act it out in that zone. We have, and so I agree. Leadership definitely is going to answer to God, but so are we as just members to embrace someone.
And
but how many times, if they come in and you know that they kind of look like, I watched this movie, Sinners Wanted. And when this woman came in off the street, she looked like she had, you know, lived a lifestyle that wasn't implying holiness, and they treated her that way. And there was just always this undertone of knowing, even without words, we let people know that they're just not accepted by us. That
right.
we feel that they
right.
have
it's
a problem.
It, right.
We all
right.
got a problem. Okay, so
yep.
let's look at it that
because
way.
Because we, and you're right, because we then put our own rejections out on them. You know, because they're not meeting the certain standards that we see as well, you know. So, but, you know, even if you're not a leader, we all, go ahead on.
Even
with believers, you know, we still need to, as believers, as lay members, even as lay members, we still have to show love and kindness and not reject our own and not project our own thoughts of rejection on the person, you know, because if you're coming off the street, the person don't know how to dress for church, you know. So then, therefore, you know, as Titus is says too, you know, go out your way to do what is right. We should go out of our way, and this is verse 7 and 8, go out of our way to do what is right towards the person. So as we, you know, introduce another scenario to the person, that they will begin and start coming into knowing and the acceptance and receiving the love of Christ instead of rejecting. Because sometimes when we have been in those really abusive relationships, that it's hard for us to receive love. You know, we don't know how to receive it. We would reject it. So, one of the things for examples for healthy relationships, it states we need a basic understanding of healthy and unhealthy relationships. Healthy relationships are turned outward rather than inward. Healthy relationships encourage individuality rather than conformity and independence rather than dependence. You know, and that comes with us teaching people how to be independent, how to rely on Christ instead of relying on them. You know, because so many times when you come from an abusive situation, you are very dependent. You're very dependent on what people say, what people think, and how people feel. This is saying that we need to teach them how to be independent. Healthy relationship point one, focus towards the Lord and to pleasing Him rather than towards the friendship and pleasing one another. And with that, God is saying that we need to understand one of our relationship with one another is a priority with our relationship with God. Ephesians 2:15-16 states from the Living Bible, by his death he ended the angry resentment between us caused by the Jewish laws that favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles, for he died to annul the whole system of Jewish law. Then he took the two groups that had been opposed to each other and made them parts of himself. Thus he fused us together to become one new person, and at last there was peace. As parts of the same body, our anger against each other has disappeared, for both of us have been reconciled or restored back to God, and so the feud ended at last at the cross. So God is still
concerned about our interaction with others, but as we really interact with others, showing how to just lead them back to the one who would give them unconditional acceptance and unconditional love. You know, there's nobody.
Pastor Tan, we're going to open that question up back to the class. So how do we respond to that young woman in that scenario? She's coming in the door. First of all, what do we think? And then what do we do? And then what should we do and what should we think? So we're opening it up to the class based on the information Pastor Tan has shared with us of how that happens and the state she's in. Now we have been made aware of the truth, so we should be able to identify it just by looking at a person, knowing that they're coming in wounded. We may not know how the wounded happened, but they are, where they're isolated, and all of the symptoms that we've learned is symptomatic of a relational problem. What should we do physically? And I don't mean go up and tell them God is the answer, because if someone came up to you with that,
okay,
when
so
you were in that state,
I'm sorry, go ahead on.
Oh, go ahead.
I was in a situation like that before. Hello? Am I on mute? I mean, can you hear me?
No, you're not on mute. I think a minister came
we can hear you.
Okay. Kathy Tipton.
All right.
Wanted to respond?
Pastor
Minister.
I'm sorry. You said me?
What? I thought Minister Pittman was trying to say something.
Yes. Minister Pittman.
This is Pastor Rogers. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. What I hear and what I've got revealed is to find the need. And not only in the congregation, definitely we should find out what's needed and what's necessary in our homes. And this is why the Bible even says charity starts at home. But every individual
Okay, Pastor Rogers, and that's all good theology. Someone walked in the door. This young woman that Prophet Connie told us about walked in the Laborers for Christ, and we have to take her temperature and get her name written down. What is our immediate response, should it be to her, and then what else thereafter? Okay?
Are you welcome? Class. Welcome when they come. I'm thinking about the one because my congregation was right here in what we call the really, really ghetto. And they would come in dirty, they need money. You know, we embrace them, let them in, and then we find out what do you need? What are your needs? And most of the time,
right,
they be homeless. They need food, she needed clothing, and then if we have a list that all the shelters, we had a list of the closest hospital, we had that available where you can meet the needs. If you don't do assessment of what someone wants, and the I call it the congregation because when it comes to the church, then that's when education comes in, where we will know, the leaders, you would know that we are the church, not the building. And if the people don't have the love and kindness to them, how can you give it? So this is why we come in on the line. We're learning so we can provide. And that made me think of the book that Overseer, you had me reading about the shepherd. If you haven't learned how to tend the sheep, you won't be able to do it as leaders. But as she said, the responsibility of helping someone that's lost is for every Christian, not just for the leaders, but this entitled the responsibility for every member in the congregation. And we should learn what it is that we should do when someone, and I'm just going to use the word that's lost, come into the congregation for help, that they want us to help them find their way. even if you go back to childhood trauma, because that when you were talking, Pastor Tam was talking about the childhood trauma, that's one of the classes that I just finished, and there's a lot more in detail that we have to listen to the people. And if we don't have time to listen to find out what
okay.
is it that they actually.
Okay, that was wonderful. The first thing you want to do is listen.
It is
to listen. We don't always come up with a solution, but we listen. That's the greatest activity you can do to make a person feel worse. You invest yourself into them, not by giving them what you have, but by listening. And not necessarily even by questioning. Because I believe if I came in a church and you started asking me stuff, you know, I'll be going, well, what is this all about? I mean, what I need to feel is your love, not even your concern right now. I just need to feel your acceptance. You know, just like the minute you see a baby, immediately most people start grinning. Oh, look at that, making that baby feel the love that you really have for them. They're a precious thing. And people need that. But even if we, it's just like if they come in, that's why I say when you come in and you take your temperature, you know, and then what do? You know, you can say, well, we say welcome. Whoever's working up there saying welcome. Now we got this big old building. They like, okay, now what? Oh, go through there. You point your finger. Go through there. Well, now I really feel welcome now. But if you take me through there or if you invest in me. And I think that that's sometimes something we would like to practice on you, you know, everything we've learned, all the knowledge we know, rather than letting the fruit of the Spirit do the speaking. And then he will then, as steps go by, because remember, you got to get them. You have to get their attention. And you have to get them to feel like this is a safe environment, not necessarily an environment come in and all your needs are met. They'll give you some money, they give you some clothes, because we've seen them. They come, they get it, and they go, and that's it. But if they come, and oftentimes apostles say, no, that doesn't matter. You come in here and listen to the service. You just come in and sit down among us. Come and join us. And then after, you know, so we just have to remember when we get this information, when we receive the education, the training, when we see the certification, when we receive the wounds of our experience, and we know the deal, let's go always go back to the natural that is between the Father and us. That's our natural, our spiritual natural. And the one thing we needed when we went to Christ, we needed him to hear us say all kind of weird, stupid stuff, so inappropriate stuff. And make promises, lie. We did a whole bunch of things. But in all of that, we only received his smile and his love and his arms. And that's what I believe that. Yes.
No, and that is correct, Overseer. And I was going to give an example of what happened to me. And that exact same thing did happen. You know, I was young in the church, and someone came in, and she had a skirt all the way up, you know, and you could tell that she was lost. So I greeted her, and I led her to a place to sit, you know, in the church because she wanted to listen to the service, and said, and at the end of the church, I did an assessment. Like, I talked to her to see where she was at. And the outcome was that she lived far away. She walked to wherever she was at. She was in the city. I would say the city zone then, but she lived like in the country. And after I assessed where she was at and got with the pastor and things of that nature, and we, you know, met her other needs, I was the one who she called when she wanted to come to service, and I would pick her up, you know, and every other, like once a month end up turning to, you know, every other month. I mean, every other month, however it was, it ended up being until she, you know, came like regularly. So I actually like walk her through the process that that's
yeah.
what I'm looking for. So yeah. So yeah. So you are indeed right.
Can I say
something? Yes.
Can I say something?
Overseer.
Yes. Yes. Who was
right.
who
no. When someone comes in the church, I believe this is my belief that God will direct the overseer or the pastor who to send the person to, whether it's a man or a woman. But that person, you have to know the person. A lot of you don't want to send a person that's going to condemn them, you know, when they first meet them, but you want to send a person that has love and kindness, the kindness of Christ, the long-sufferance of Christ, the gentleness of Christ to that person. And that person will know by the Holy Spirit what to say to them. Say the girl came in and she was abused when she was 8 years old or more than that time. You're not going to send someone to her and to say, oh, you've been abused. You know, let the abused person confess that. Yes. And then allow the Holy Spirit to direct you to what to say. We talk about the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. The gift of wisdom and knowledge. So at that time, then God will direct you to how to lead her. But when we greet someone with love and kindness at the door, shake their hand, offer them a seat, and be kind and friendly towards them, they have a tendency to want to come back and hear the word again. So we have to know when to do it, how to do it, and where to do it, I guess, would be my question.
Amen.
Yeah, so we have to show Christ. Because I don't think Christ would just come out and bust you out, you know. I think he would put his arms around you. I think he would either shake your hand or present that spirit of comfort to you before he does that. That's my opinion. And as for this young girl, you saw what she went through. When she got 16, she was still doing it. So if she comes in and church like that, we will don't put somebody on and tell her, you know, you're a sinner, you died, you're going to hell. You know, just give them kind words like, so fear not. That Jesus have already taken care of your sins. He nailed them on the cross. Something that would comfort them.
Amen.
Thank you, Lady Jen. And I do want to leave you with a question, because it's not always that they're going to come through the door of the church, but you're going to come in contact with those people in life. And I'm not just saying the ones that are on drugs or the ones that are prostitutes, okay? But broken people now know if that's the way they're acting, their anger is a result of something. And we all know angry people that don't come to church, okay?
Right.
And so when we are out globally, we're out community-wise, we're out nationwide and statewide and whatever, especially with the internet and all the social media, to extend just a listening ear and a heart of love to people. And so it's not always that we're not going to sit in the church and wait for them to come in the door. You know,
right.
We're called to go out there where they are. And when we go out where they are, we go out non-judging. We go out, like you were saying, with long-suffering and in acceptance, just like we desire acceptance. And that's what will draw them to him, whether it's in a church door or wherever, a community center where they worship, a Bible study, a prison, a hall, and research time. And so I think that we want to see more globally I'll say this way, we want to see more kingdom-minded, our responsibility, which is why God is revealing the significance of everybody, including ourselves, so that we can see beyond us because we have been healed. But now that we have, he said, do it so you can draw somebody else. So you know, okay, because you've been there and you know that. And then if you don't, Holy Spirit, and it is what you're to do, Holy Spirit will lead you into what it is you should do. And so I believe that that's part of healthy and unhealthy relationships. We have to create a healthy environment for relationships no matter where we are, whether it's within our family structure, whether it, and that's a most disagreeable, unlovable, loving person that we, no matter how frustrated it does, we have to create that environment wherever we are. That's the way the fruit of the Spirit don't just work when you go to church or you're around church folks. It's supposed to work when you're in the mountains that have other influences. And so that's what we want to take away. I appreciate the powerful, you know, and the amount of depth that went into the preparation and the sharing on both of you's part and getting into the heart of it and revealing it in a perspective that's not your normal religious perspective. You know, we should show them love. Well, then maybe we need to know what love is and how to show it. And so maybe that's the kind of class we need. So we say a lot of people can't accept love. You know, most of them can't because they never had it. And most people that give it don't give it the way Christ gives it. And to those that do, it's got to make a difference because we have to know the word of God says that what he sends his word to do, it's going to bring about, it's going to do what to accomplish what he wants. So we got to do it believing, not do it and wait for evidence. Well, they don't come and then they're not here and I don't know. That doesn't matter. If you gave them him that's in you, if you gave it to them, then he is going to do what he needs to do with it. And we have to be aware of that, and we have to be in a place where our awareness of it gives a worship to it, because that worship would also give it power to send angels to that person. You know, we can say, well, you know, I really thought about you, and he's been out, and da-da-da-da. Send angels to these people. You know, you don't have to know their name. You can see their face. You may not ever see them again. Send an angel to them, you know, and send a word of help. That's our intercessory responsibility. And so I just want us to see beyond the norm, beyond the standard, beyond, and this is part of this coming up hither. This is part of just a shift, okay, in your level of spiritual insight, in your level of understanding, your level of knowledge. The more you learn about the mysteries of the way God wants it, and how he wants it, as we study his character and we study his son and his role on earth, then the more powerful a message we will have, just like Peter, just walking down the street. They got don't need to know I go to labor for Christ. They walk down the street and my shadow should heal them or draw them or make their hair on the back of their neck stand up, make them go, oh, who are you or what are your name? That kind of a going forth of this river that needs to happen and needs to flow from this understanding that we are receiving. So I think you got very thorough, you know, very interactive. And if anybody else would like to make a comment, we will take time to do that. And then we want to share some announcements with you. So we open
the floor. I would just like to make a comment. This is
Scott. Ma'am.
Okay. We should always remember what Jesus did. You know, the woman that was, they said, was caught in the very act of adultery, he didn't bust her out. And he didn't bust the people out either. He just rolled on the ground. They said he took and rolled on the ground. So they had to read themselves what Christ had written on the ground. But God did this say to the woman, I condemn you not. So there's a way to do things and an order to do things.
Uh-huh.
And And so when the people ran it on the ground, they couldn't say anything because they had convicted themselves.
Absolutely. And we're going to get to that conviction, guilt and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, Lady Jen, we're going to get to that. We really are. And we're going to get to our scripture. We're going to get to our powerful words that we want to understand. So I pray everybody receive. Are there any more comments? I'm sorry. Any more comments? Anybody think anything else people might want to add to this evening? Okay. So I do want to make sure everybody receives the email, and it lists what your roles are going to be in week six. This is coming up. Week six will be March 3rd. We are going into a period of consecration, and the prophet is going to bring forth a consecration for us, and we're gonna be involved in it every Wednesday. You're going to get some things in the bag on Sunday that you need to bring to the meeting with an explanation and studying, because March 1st is Monday. And so we want to be prepared to consecrate ourselves during this holy season leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And so we will have the format of the meetings that we have, but it will also include some other things that the prophet will bring at the beginning of the meeting. So I wanted everybody to be aware of that. Definitely set your calendars to be, you know, here on time. And we actually... you're on at 6:30 just to get us everybody in, so you're not trying to all get in at 7 o'clock. So you can always log on early. You can log on at 6:30 because that's when our time actually starts, so that we can have the additional time for whatever is coming up and being presented.
Hey, Overseer, I'm
and
on the line.
Prophet, yes.
Great evening, everyone. Awesome class. As Overseer said, we are so excited about what is stirring in the atmosphere with Labors for Christ. I'm extremely excited. I'm sure you guys hear that all the time, but one of the foundations of Labors for Christ Ministries, Labors for Christ Word Life Center, is that we are a church that's built on fasting, praying, and intentional consecration. And so I'm just excited about this new wineskin that is being poured out on us. And so starting next Wednesday, as Overseer has said, which will be March the 3rd, leading up to our miracle moment manifestation, Resurrection Sunday, we are going on an intentional 33 days of Christ fast and consecration. There is so many anointed hands that has played a part in putting this consecration package together. And so we appreciate them who have invested their gifts, their talents, and their anointings so that we can ascend to a new realm. And so it is a 33-day consecration. There is some intentional moments. We're going to be introducing what we call a suddenly 33. It's you being intentional to spend 33 minutes with Christ, and there's going to be guidelines, steps to encourage you, to help you. It's no condemnation. It is all consecration. You start where you're
Amen.
At. But we are challenging transformation. And so it is us being intentional as deers that panther after a water brook. For those of you all who missed Mondays, we talked about how deers normally don't run alone. They run in packs. And so I'm excited that we are running together to ascend to this new
Amen.
Place. So I believe I will be able to do it because I am running with people who are giving me faith and strength to do it. And so it's not just for laborers. If you know families and friends, encourage them, give them the package, walk them through it, find your accountability partner, take the next 33 days,
yes,
go
yes,
on
yes.
this wonderful journey with the ministry of one another. And so it's been a few years since we have done this, and so I'm excited about this new wineskin that our apostle declared 2 years ago, and I believe that this is part of that pouring of us going back to that place. It started a year ago. Apostle KT led us to be intentional in prayer. So we've been praying Tuesdays for over a year. And so now we're going to re-expose ourselves to a time of consecration. And our focus is Him. Our apostle has declared it as healing through the lens of the healer. And so I'm excited about the wonderful healing that's going to take place, mind, body, soul, and spirit, family, city, countries, nations, and communities. And so we want to stir you up to get ready. Let's go and let's ascend. We have said that this is the year of prophetic possibilities, and the invitation has been given to come up here. And I believe this is one of our ways that we are saying, yes, Lord, we coming. And we coming running.
Yes.
We coming hungry. We coming excited.
Yes.
And we're not coming alone. We're taking some people with us. And so as Overseer said, you will get it in an email. We will have some packages available on Sunday for those of you who may not have the opportunity to do it. But one thing our apostles talked about was, you know, not just taking it for yourself, but taking it for someone else. So if you can take it and make a copy and pass it along. So next Wednesday, as we kick this off, we will have our first virtual spiritual growth and development. It is global. We will take communion together to start this. You will have an extra communion in your brown bag. We want you to invite people. So those of you all who have to present next week, get ready.
Yes.
Your best wind, your best face.
Yes,
opportunity. I'm excited. I don't know who's doing it, but I'm excited that God chose you to kick this off with us. So we're not going to completely deviate from the spiritual growth, but we will do some little extra things just to start this conversation. And I'm excited about the voices that God chose before the foundation of the world, that you are leading us the way. So be prepared.
And
you're not just going to minister us prayerfully. You invite others to come and be a part of this journey. If you know somebody who needs a turnaround, we're in the Lent season anyway, so people are doing it. This is just an additional way. It's the labors of Christ's voice. And so we're just excited about the 33 journey, intentional consecration, spending time with God. And He's going to do some things, y'all. He's already done it. But we're
going to
see
manifestation
of some powerful things. I believe we're going to be on this time of consecration, and we're going to be, I believe we're doing the cedar too, right? Overseer. So I just think it's so many powerful things that's happening during this time, and it's going to be so exciting. We're going to be on the consecration, and we're going to be doing the cedar, and we're preparing for Resurrection Sunday. So those of you who know that you are called to miracles, I want you to be ready for Resurrection Sunday. We are going to believe God. We're calling it miracle moments. And so it may happen in worship. It may happen in prayer. It may happen in reading the scripture. But miracle moments are going to happen. And it's going to, we're starting that. And we're going to come together and consecrate with each other as we are pantering after the healer.
Yes. Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. So glad you were on to give the rest of the fire to our future. Hallelujah. And so we do ask you to become in expectations. Everybody has a part. And honestly, as the Prophet mentioned, you were given these parts. It wasn't by chance, okay? But God has established this to happen in the chapters, the last two chapters of the book. And it may take us from now to then to finish, because we're not going to try to rush through it. We want to get all that He has on a level that we've never received before. And we do have to be consecrated to receive these mysteries and these truths and these treasures that he is unearthing for us in the deep. And so we are just excited out of our flesh. How's that? Hallelujah. We'll be excited out of our flesh so that we decrease and the Lord will increase. And the Spirit of the Lord, it is upon us because he has poured it out. And so I thank everybody. I thank you for your input and the diligence in your studying and in your seeking and in your desire to know the Word of God and to know God, to know him. And so, Prophet, you can, Apostle, do you have anything you would like to share? And don't forget, next week, and then going forth, thank you, Apostle, it will be on Zoom. So you will get the Zoom information. And so, and I, you know what, I encourage everybody, I was very convicted, don't just come on Zoom. Fix yourself so we can see your face, okay? Because that really is a part of the fellowship. And that is a, that's a part of really the connecting. You know, we don't want to connect to a little black box that's got your name on it. We want to connect to your face, okay? And it really makes a difference in how we receive and we're able to interact and fellowship with one another. I have found lately that they take forever to hang up, and then, you know, even after the service is gone, because it is truly a fellowship that our souls long for. And so I do encourage you to be prepared. At we're going to have it start at 6:30 just to get people time to get on and get situated and get your dinner, whatever, because it's okay if you eat it. We don't mind. So that you'll be able to be right ready at 7 o'clock and we can really get started. But we can have some worship time before the service and preparation time. So that when, you know, the class is the start of the session, the start of the worship service is the start, we will have we have laid a foundation, an electronic foundation, all of that. So, again, it will be on Zoom. Again, you will receive the Zoom link for it in enough time for you to record it and then, you know, be able to sign in on it. And that's 7 o'clock. You can come in as early as 6:30, and we will be in our midweek, truly prayer, miracle moment, 33 intentional consecration, healing through the lens of the healer, and all of that. Okay, so we ask you to come ready to worship on Sunday. Bring your instruments of praise. Whatever you have, bring your tambourine, bring your prayer shawl, your banners, your flags, your whistles. Bring your instrument of worship so that a sound can be released from, is the Apostle KP on the line? Okay, that's right. Okay, from the prophet, do you know that women worshiper?
Worship warrior women.
The Bible
talks about anointing of Sheol, which is women of valor. And those were women who were trendsetters. They were worship leaders, and they fought. And how they fought with the weapon that was given in their hand. And so we've been on this conversation with women. There's going to be some powerful women that we're going to talk about on Sunday to continue this conversation. It's another one of those don't want to miss. If you ever want to know about Ichabod's mom, if you want to know about Deborah, number one, who was Rachel's nurse, and Deborah, two, who was the first prophet mentioned in the Old Testament, and J.L., one of my favorite women, who was a regular housewife who destroyed the king. So get ready, man.
Jesus,
fire.
Hallelujah.
It is 365 days that we
yes.
have been blessed with our building.
Jesus.
So it
yes.
is also
yes.
Hallelujah.
Our year celebration.
Yes.
Amen.
Our year miracle
and
celebration.
Those,
yes.
those you on the line, you made that possible by faith. You
Amen.
Stood,
Amen.
You believe. You
yes,
sold, so
you, gave,
you got
yes.
a right and a reason to shout.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So come
Amen.
Sunday,
and you know what, Prophet? Amen. And to those that didn't do anything, you really ought to shout because you see what God is.
God,
you, maybe you did and you could. I don't know. But you see what is. He brought it to pass. Hallelujah.
He brought
yes.
it to pass.
Yes.
You know, our apostle is a woman of faith. Just real quick, and I know we got to go, but she heard the word of God in a retreat meeting, and she didn't
yeah.
waste time and started looking for a building. And for those mm-hmm. you don't know, she had her hand on one building, but God led her to the place because she is someone
yeah.
who leads from the future. And so where she could
Amen.
Have had one, she chose to go where the future was taking her. And so that's just a woman of faith. And that alone
Amen.
Is something to celebrate and be excited
mm-hmm.
about.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward
Amen.
To getting in the building. I wish I could
Amen.
Shout the old school shout, you know. So I'm going to come
you
ready,
can.
Try my best, but I'm excited. Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
I'm excited about what God's going to do on Sunday as well. So. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, he's going to give us a new shout. Wow.
Yes.
What the earth has never seen. Hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus. So church, what's the thing they say? Get ready. It's done. It is done. Rejoice, and be
yeah.
exceedingly glad. It is finished, and it is manifesting. So we thank God, and we just
Amen.
Know that we are part of his plan. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Prophet, you could pray us out.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Tan, and those who shared as you were ministering. You ministered to my heart, and so I just began to write some declarations for my own self, and I pray that they will be a blessing to you as well. So that would be how we'll close. I decree I am
Amen.
No longer attracted to my pain, and I receive the plan God has for me. I decree and declare my childhood traumas won't be my adult triggers. I am healed from my childhood pains and will live as a whole adult in Jesus' name. I declare I no longer chase childhood approval because I am accepted as the beloved of Christ and the apple of Abba's eye. I reject the negative words, thoughts, feelings and actions of my past that keep invading my present and attempting to traumatize my future. I decree that I am valuable
yeah.
in the family of God
yeah.
and God approves of me just as I am. I decree that I am not the black sheep, but the sheep that the shepherd left the flock to come and get me. I decree
Hallelujah.
I will not be an approval addict and look for my high
Jesus.
And intoxication off the approval of man.
Mm-hmm.
I decree and declare that
Jesus.
I am loved by God, and God loved me then. He loves me now.
Mm-hmm.
He will love me forever.
Yeah, love me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, thank you
Jesus.
For such
yeah.
a wonderful class. Thank you for our teacher
mm-hmm.
who planted such great seeds in our hearts. Now we pray for a thousandfold return to come
Jesus.
Upon those seeds that has been planted. In Jesus' name we
Jesus.
Pray.
Yeah.
Amen. And amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God in the highest.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Peace in our soul. Amen and amen. Do continue to create blessings wherever you go. Amen.
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 Good night.
Good night.